racism, journalism, hypnotism, terrorism. Where's the wisdom? They attacked the nations in Africa, made them catch their man-made AIDS with polio vaccinations, and they drive their Mitsubishis. Belief in mystic genius and watching TV distracts us from another Lisbon treaty. Planet permissions, this planet's position, brainwashed with religion to accept their fascist decisions. People panicking, no paladin, no patron saint, battling to stay awake, pineal gland cluttered by what's in our water as a Celtic warrior, breaking every barrier. I was surprised when I realized if you believe a lie, then you can fill a lie detector like an actor in a part. Society's a stage, and the masters of the art are the laughter in the dark. Rest assured, we will not be terrorized, and this revolution will not be televised. What? Is Lucifer for Jupiter? It's safe to say that many men have been murdered, including William Cooper for gritting their teeth and killing the seeds of evil as people scatter on the compost of false religious belief. It's not gonna stop by watching Top of the Pops. We need to bring change to this establishment, but not with the trunk of a box, cause the ones at the top that are calling the shots like they've got it all locked. But my passion is burning like a Molotov cocktail, and my will to fight is still strong as an ox. Honestly, God, habits make a mind state, and if you cut jobs and raise drug prices, it raises the crime rate. Freedom of speech means I can teach about the priest's reason to preach a fallacy that has me breathing the leaf of tobacco plants. But the truth is, there shouldn't be a they controlling each other. It's made the mess we see today.
I still have a dream to see past the secrets and know what to really be free is. I still have a dream. I know you can't see this, but people, you got to believe it. I still have a dream. The secrets to know what to really be free is, so be it. I still have a dream. This nation will rise up.
Global terror is here, but we're all blinded. Chameleon governments hold info, so we don't know they're behind it. Bright media lights shine, and all of our eyes run the edge. Exaggerate the problems of mankind. Now there's violence around us, no escaping its finders. Rebellion, martial law, and then they'll appoint us. Got a pain in my leg, must be my FEMA. Black blood being spilled over
Oscar Mary Lima.
How can we just sit back and let this all happen? Like guards at the gate that got caught out napping. I invented a cure for cancer using radio waves, replacing chemical placebos with herbal remedies. Who let the dogs out? It turned into swine flu. It wasn't on the news, cause it wasn't supposed to. This is expression, revolutionary lyrical art. I'm Irish through and through, and I've got fire in my heart. I'm a soldier, I told you, bend you, then fold you. Knowledge is my burden, got a lot on my shoulders. Don't shoot the messenger, stay away, I'm telling you. Listen if you like, but I'm not gonna yell at you. Blinded with money, I'm going green with envy. Doesn't this corporate world fucking torment you? Do you sometimes feel weak and empty? Do you think TV is there to help you? Working, sleeping, drinking, but nobody's living. Lab rats in the maze is the life we've been given. Hold up, I think I'm gonna sneeze. Zeitgeist, did I say zeitgeist? Oops, there, I said it twice, nice. Yeah, this is a prank. My name is George Shank, and I work at the bank. I'll tell you everything, then I gotta catch a flight. I want this all in the open, in plain sight.
I still have a dream to see past the secrets and know what to really be free is. I still have a dream. I know you can't see this, but people, you got to believe it. I still have a dream. The secrets to know what to really be free is, so be it. I still have a dream. This nation will rise up.
Cannabis blazes will rattle your cages. Truth like hot rocks burning holes in the pages. I'm working so hard trying to change tomorrow. I'm a fucking revolutionary like I'm Che Guevara. They try to use statutes to catch you, but I can't plea bargain on the gospel of Mark. Making me swear on the book that preaches equality. I came from the clay, so you can't put laws on me. 8,000 years of Celtic mythology. I demand an apology. This farce makes a mockery of me, my mind, and my spirituality. My words are just as valid as anyone's actually. So what is reality? Somebody challenge me. That's your reality, fine. Don't interrupt mine. We write for the message and not for what sells. Ancient Irish knowledge straight out of the Book of Kells.
The Irish people, inherently and historically, opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
Good evening.
And good evening and welcome to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And tonight I have a very special show. I will be inviting back to Out of the Bag the very great and wonderful Ollie Damigard, who will be joining me for a little while to really set the tone, set the pace, put me in my place, if you like, on information on my next guest, who is Gene Chip Tatum. Now, Chip Tatum has quite a history behind him. He's a military, ex-military man, then went into the CIA, working for people like Lyndon Baines Johnson and a few interesting presidential people in the US after that. So I am really, really looking forward to speaking to Ollie first and then having Chip Tatum join me. So that is our out of the bag setup for tonight, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Before I do move on to invite Ollie onto the show, I just wanted to make a couple of announcements. One in particular was from a friend on Facebook called Tom Quinn. Now, if you go onto Facebook and friend Tom Quinn, there is much, much more information that he can give you about what he is doing, what is going on. Basically, it is a very interesting group who are drummers. They are into their, I suppose they'd call it alchemy drumming. And they hold workshops. They have a weekly group meeting every Friday in Dublin that's open to everyone. I think there is a donation, or if you can afford a tenner, that would be good to keep it going. That's a group meeting, and Tom Quinn will explain all that on Facebook. But each month the group holds an event, and this month it is in the Wicklow Mountains, a beautiful lodge that they're going to be staying in, Mukla Lodge in the Wicklow Mountains, where they're going to have a Drum Till Dawn event. So I just said that I would do that is on the 18th and 19th of October. And if you need any more details of that, just contact Tom Quinn through the Facebook channels and he will give you all the information. It sounds really interesting and a nice way to group together and get a lot of like-minded people together. I want to move on to the next little announcement, and that is that the Creative Rebellion, the events that are being held in Manchester very regularly now, I think this is going to be the third or fourth event. It's being held this time in Carson's Bar in Townley Street, Middleton in Manchester. It's on the 6th of November at 7:30, and they have a fantastic show lined up. I was lucky enough to be over there in Manchester for the second event that they held, along with Thomas Sheridan and many other people, and a fantastic band, Jeremiah Ferrari, were on, and it was just a fantastic night where lots of like-minded people got together. I think it was more the getting together and the talks in between the acts that were the highlight for me, but it was really, really good to have creative people getting up there and showing that through their creations we can all be rebellious against this system and the systems that are controlling us. So once again, that is on the 6th of November in Carson's Bar, Townley Street, Middleton in Manchester at 7:30. This event will be with Johnny Woodhead, the Stereotex, Lyceum, and then obviously they're going to have a wonderful guy who's been at every event so far, the poet and author Pete Wilkie, followed by and including, of course, community artist Jackie Stewart. It's only £3 entry, and believe me, for a show that you're going to get on that night and the people you're going to meet, it's an absolute steal. Okay, just absolutely fantastic. Now, before I play a little tune and then bring on Ollie Damigard to Out of the Bag, I just want to thank everybody down in Cork. I was down in Cork for the Mehl, along with Vin. Vin was there a day earlier doing his MPE magical stuff down there and explaining things in more simplistic terms than maybe a few other people might explain it. Vin doing his stuff down there in Cork, he definitely opened a few eyes through their ears, if you like, and did a fantastic job down there. He was down there for the full weekend. I got down there on the Friday, and I have to say thank you to James, who looked after me, and Gabriel, who was absolutely fantastic, and the chairman or the sort of the chairperson, if you like, was a guy called Patrick. We know him as Delimitri, and he's absolutely fantastic. And I want to thank also for their hospitality, Shawnee and Margie. It was a really, really great, great weekend, and I went down there and learned so much, and I'm sure many, many more people around the country should be getting together and talking about all the different things, the official offer, the return to sender, learning more and more about what we have been talking about on People's Internet Radio for quite a while. So thank you to all those people down in Cork to be put up with the mad poet from Galway down there with you. It was a great, great time. So I'm going to play a little tune, and I'm going to bring on Ollie Damagard. This is the Foo Fighters and the Pretender.
Keep you in the dark, you know they all pretend. Keep you in the dark, and so it all begins.
And welcome back to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And I'd like to reintroduce to Out of the Bag our old favourite, our old friend, Ollie Damagard. Are you with me?
I sure am, Sean. How are you?
I am absolutely great and really, really looking forward to chatting to you first and then a little bit later to Chip Tatum.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting night, I tell you. This man has got an incredible background, absolutely incredible.
Well, I tell you what, for those people that are out there and we don't really, I think it's fantastic that you set this interview up, Ollie, and I want to thank you very much for that. But so much, I listened to quite a lot of interviews over the last few days when you told me that I was lucky enough to have Chip coming on the show. And it's so in-depth, and a lot of the American interviewers knew the ins and outs, the intricacies of an awful lot of Chip's career. And he was also talking to a few of his friends on some of those interviews. So it was, a lot of it was over my head, Ollie. So maybe you'd like to give a bit of an introduction to Chip Tatum to our listeners, who some of them might not have even heard of him.
Well, my name is Ole Damagard. My website is lightonconspiracies.com, and I've spent about 30 years of my life looking into the major assassinations in modern times, so-called terror attacks, assassinations, false flag operations, and so on. And some of the cases I really specialized on are the JFK assassination, the Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and so on. And also the murder of the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme. And many of these assassinations also lead into the so-called Iran-Contra scandal. And this was when a lot of weapons were stolen from the National Guard, but by people in government, by people in the CIA. These guns were equipped with special parts when there were no serial numbers, so you couldn't see that they were stolen. They were just like spare parts, but put together, and then with this thing made them untraceable weapons. And these weapons were then transported in big military planes like C-130s or C-123s, or medevac planes, you know, medical ambulances type of, and flown down to countries like Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, to the so-called Contras army that was a total creation by the CIA with Henry Kissinger and George Bush very, very deeply involved in the whole thing. And the idea was to arm them so that they could commit absolute incredible atrocities on these poor people in these poor countries down there. And also, part of the whole idea was that there was a man under the George Bush Sr.'s control. His name was Lieutenant Oliver North. He set up a company called the Enterprise, where they set up, they installed major cocaine factories down there. And then when these planes returned to the States, they were filled with big cargo coolers where it says vaccines and stuff like that, but what was actually in them was raw cocaine. And also, when many of these assassinations, one of the things I found is a group called Operation 40, a team of highly skilled assassins that have been working for decades, that was created in the early 60s. And took part on many of the major assassinations like JFK, Robert Kennedy, and so on. But some of these people, quite a few of them, were also central in the so-called Iran-Contra scandal. So this is one group that I've spent many, many years of tracking down, trying to expose who was in this whole thing and who were the pilots, who were the people taking part of this whole thing. And one of these people were Chip Tatum.
Uh-huh.
And
so this is, Ollie, this is drug running and assassinations, basically.
Yeah, but this is done by people who are not to begin with had no idea what they were involved in. Like, Chip had absolutely no idea that he was flying drugs back into, he thought he was flying vaccines. And then one day when they had a bad landing, and one of these coolers, they dropped it in the ground, and it broke open. And he noticed, oh my God, it's filled with cocaine. Mm. So he contacted Oliver Knowles and said, my God, do you know about this? And Oliver Knowles just laughed and said, well, this is, part of war, you know, that you steal from the enemy and so on.
Well, what I heard when Oliver Knowles was answering, Chip on one of his interviews, Chip said that it was, he gave an excuse and said basically it was evidence being used and being brought back.
Exactly. That was a little later in the same conversation. But anyway, in my book, Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion, that I finished around the year 2000, the first version, the final part of it is the so-called Tatum Chronicles written by a journalist called David Goyette. And these Tatum Chronicles describes very much in great details a lot of Chip's career, ultra secret career. And in the CIA, he was a deep cover agent for 25 years. He was a black op assassin. He was a night stalker pilot. He was one of the members in an ultra secret team of assassins under the direct control of George Bush Sr. called Pegasus. And they flew on at least 14 different missions internationally, taking out people. And when I thought that he was dead, because the thing was that he turned whistleblower in the late 80s, beginning of the 90s.
Yes.
And no, that's not true. It was later than that he came open about this whole thing. But before that, he came to a point where he confronted George Bush Sr. and just absolutely refused to do what he was ordered, because at that point he was ordered to neutralize Ross Perot. Yes. If you remember, the billionaire that was running for president.
So take someone out of the equation for the presidential elections, basically.
Yeah, because Ross Perot was so pissed off with George Bush, because there were, as far as I understand, he found out that there were still prisoners in Southeast Asia that Bush knew about but refused to bring home. And so he went to see the president about this, and George Bush, that was the vice president at that time, he stopped it. And Perot got very, very angry with him and decided to run for president himself. He said, I'm a billionaire, I can do it, you know. And that was when Bush decided to neutralize him and ordered Chip to do it. And so
Chip refused, Ollie. And what I heard when I first came on the internet, I was looking up and Chip Tatum popped up with incredible whistleblowing information he was coming out with. And then I heard that he was bumped off himself, that he was killed.
I thought so too. Because in the mid-90s, I think it was, he went out and did a series of interviews with the former FBI chief, Ted Gunderson, who was later, I think, murdered. And in these interviews, he went very, very open with a lot of incredibly detailed information about what he had been involved in. And after that, he just disappeared. First, he went to prison, and then he disappeared. And the reason he went to prison was that he made a deal. He will tell you more about that later on, but he made a deal to take a couple of years in prison to discredit himself. But that was one way of staying alive. He will tell you more about this.
Yeah, I mean, because if you stand up to be a rebel against one of the most evil men on the planet, because, you know, George Bush Sr. is one of the, if not the, most evil men on this planet.
I can only agree. And I asked Chip directly about George Bush, how he saw him, how he felt, you know, when he looked into his eyes, what was his feeling? Because this has always been a mystery to me. How are these people with so brutal and ruthless agendas, you know, totally merciless and ruthless mass murderers. How are they when you stand in front of them? What type of feeling do you get? And he said, when it comes to George Bush, it's just pure evil. He says that George Bush Sr. is the most evil person he has ever come around and across. And I mean, Chip has been surrounded by assassins his whole life almost, so.
And yet he gives that accolade to George Bush, yeah, and a very well-placed accolade it is too.
But you will also see that George Bush, I mean, he was a very young man in Dallas when he was there. He was there as the paymaster for Operation 40, so he was actually in the Deltex building when the shots were fired. Very, very deeply involved in the JFK assassination. And from then on, he sort of worked his way up and got rid of people that was in his way. I would say he was most probably behind getting rid of Nixon through the Watergate scandal, because that was a very strange affair. Mm. I think he was very much behind the so-called assassination attempt on Reagan to scare him off when John Hinckley, a total patsy, was accused of having shot at him. And every single one that has come in his way, he's just got rid of.
Yeah. So pretty much every president since, I suppose, George Bush Sr. himself, have had George Bush Sr. behind them, really, whether it's been Republican or Democrat.
Forget about this Republican Democrat. It's just a baloney, you know. It's like the same body that has a left hand or a right hand does not make any difference. I would say that the cabal that took out JFK on that November day in 1963, they took over. It was a coup d'etat, a very brutal coup d'etat. And the people that took over that little so-called power elite have stayed in power ever since. So all the president that has followed is just another front face on the same very, very brutal war machine that took over that day, including Obama, big time Obama here. But we're just talking about changing the cover, you know, a nice, pretty face that works at whatever time is going on. They've just changed these persons. But it's the same structure behind it. So it doesn't matter who you choose, you will still get the same structure. That's why nothing changes.
No, absolutely. So when Chip comes on, and I'm presuming he's sitting in the background waiting for us to give him a call, Ollie.
He is.
Right. So, I'm just thinking, you know, I really haven't got as many questions as maybe somebody who knows the
ins and outs. What you're going to ask, and I would love to help you with questions because I've got a lot.
It's why you're here, Ollie. A bit of out of the bag gets a bit of help. What do you think?
Yeah, I would love to, because I've got a lot of questions too to Chip.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So maybe it's a bit of me sitting back, putting the microphone off and letting you two hack away at it. What do you think?
No, please join and pop in with questions and whatever, you know.
Oh, well, I as you know me, I will certainly do that.
And let's have a few of your poems.
Ah, no, only if you ask for them. Mind you, there is one that fits the bill for Chip perfectly, yeah. Isn't it? The Warlord Sip Their Tea in Error. I think that might get an airing tonight.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you want that now? Or should we wait for Chip to hear it?
Wait for Chip, but I would like another one before that.
Would you? Okay. Well, in case anyone's tuning in that doesn't usually tune into Out of the Bag, welcome. And I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I am a simple poet, and I do have a wee book of poetry. So, Ollie, why don't you pick a number between 10 and 90, and I'll read a page from my book.
Due to the theme tonight, maybe we should take 66.
66. Okay, let's see what's on page 66. Live radio, don't you just love it? Okay, well, 66 is called Bodies, and it goes like this. Be who you are, not what you're told to be, and suddenly a light shines through and you stop being a nobody. You do not need other nobody to tell you are somebody by being a nobody. They're just somebody stopping you from being a somebody. Everybody is a somebody just waiting to break out of being a nobody, and nobody really wants to remain a nobody because everybody wants to be a somebody. Everybody should help every nobody to be somebody. If this happens, then everybody that helps a nobody to be a somebody is a somebody. And that includes every nobody. There you go.
Excellent.
A bit of a different one there now. Yeah. Notton's asking a question before we pick the brains of Chip coming on. But Notton's asking, what does Ollie think about the Robin Williams death? It's a curveball, but let's throw it.
It's a tricky one. You know, to me, I don't want to disgrace him in any way or form, but it seems to me that there's a possibility of this strange sex thing, you know, where you strangle yourself almost to death. At least in the description of how he was found on a chair, leaning up against a wardrobe with a belt around his throat. And then there were some superficial cuts on his wrist. But once again, you know, we are talking about L.A., San Francisco, these police organizations which have been heavily involved in covering up and messing up murders like Robert Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe, many of these big Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, and so on. So whatever is the real thing, very, very difficult to know at this point. I'm just really sad that he's gone.
Yes, yeah, you know, a comedic genius and a really good actor. But having said that, you know, anyone who heads into celebrity these days, because of the way the mainstream media are portraying things, and also the non-mainstream media, you know, everybody thinks everyone sold their soul to the devil if they become famous. They've sold out their lives and all. And that's a bag of shite, really, because there are good people doing good things all over. And Robin Williams was a fantastic actor, a great comedian. And I don't know what his personal life was, but most comedians do have a sort of a sad and...
I do not, according to how he was found, I would not call it a suicide. I would call it an accident or a death. Do you know, because there's more than, I think one or two of his films is exactly about this theme, yes. About this. So it's like, I do not, I think it's an accidental death or it could be a murder.
Yeah.
But I do not think it's a suicide.
No, I tend to think it's not a suicide. I tend to think that it's either, as you say, an accident. But I thought maybe it, and I think probably that's what Noddin was nodding towards, is that it could be an assassination.
But once again, at this stage, it's too early to say. And let's just, keep looking into it and just honor his memory while we do it.
Yeah, absolutely. John McHugh says, like in Excess, yeah, there was a... the lead singer of INXS had a very strange death as well. So, you know, all these things are linked and you're the man to do that bit of research. But obviously the CIA is linked to most of what you look into, Ollie. So do you think it's time to maybe put on a tune and bring in Chip, or do you think we should set up a bit more?
No, he's waiting.
Okay, well, we'll put on a wee tune and I just thought I'd have a bit of a crack with this one. It's a very short 3-minute song, and of course it's by Green Day, American Idiot. Subliminal mindfuck America. And welcome back to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And I am honoured and privileged to have Gene Chip Tatum with me on the show, joining myself and Ollie Damagard. Are you with me?
Hi, Sean. I sure am. Hi, Ollie. Glad to be with you all today.
You know, hi, Chip.
Sorry, Ollie. I'll let you say hellos.
No, hi, Chip. It's been a long time. Great to talk to you again.
Well, listen, Chip, it's an absolute honour to have you on Out of the Bag here on People's Internet Radio. We're beaming out here from Ireland. I'm in County Galway on the west coast of Ireland. And do you know what? I've been listening to many, many things over the years. And when I listened to your YouTube videos many years ago, quite a few years ago, I was actually told afterwards that you had passed away. So welcome back.
Ah, it's good to be back. That was one painful episode that I apparently went through. I read about it also.
the stories of your demise were highly exaggerated, Chip.
Exactly. I'm fine. And you know, it's funny. My son called me. He said, "Dad, oh, thank God you're all right." I said, "What's wrong, Lee?" And he said, "Well, we read on the internet that your body had washed up without a face and without fingers." I said, "Well, how'd they know it was my body?" So someone wanted me gone. Who knows why?
It must have been that tattoo you have on your arse, Chip.
That could be.
Well, I apologize for my Irish sense of humor. Look, I was just talking to Ollie before you came on, and I was listening to a few of your more recent interviews, and being in the situation I'm in here, I don't have as much information, if you like, or knowledge on a lot of what you went through and all the rest of it. But I really love you to maybe, and I know you'll be repeating yourself here, but for my audience, our audience here on People's Internet Radio, it would be great to give a bit of background where you started, you know, who your peers were, how you got involved with the military, obviously conscription over there, but maybe a different story, and various other things leading up to where you are now, Chip.
Okay. I started out a young college student, flunked a chemistry exam during the Vietnam War. And in the United States during those years, we had a thing called the lottery for involuntary call-up into the military. And since I flunked a chemistry exam, my name was turned into the draft board. And my lottery number was 3. So I was pretty well screwed. I had to go into the service, and they did give me the chance to shop my services. They said, "Son, you have two." The board sent a letter, and my mom called, my dad called.